Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about a couple of updates from Elon Musk, first on the Cybertruck and then on supercharging rates. We do have a couple other stories as well, one on electric vehicles in Japan, and then some news on the Chevy Bolt and Ford Mustang Mach-E. Not a whole lot of action for the stock today, Tesla finishing down 0.4% to $650.60, but that did outperform the NASDAQ down 0.7%. All right, we'll start off with the Cybertruck. It's been a while since we've really heard Elon mention the Cybertruck. He replied to a Tesla owner's online tweet today saying that he does think that there is a chance that the Cybertruck will flop because it is so unlike anything else. He says, quote, "I don't care. I love it so much, even if others don't. Other trucks look like copies of the same thing, but Cybertruck looks like it was made by aliens from the future," end quote. Elon has expressed that sentiment in the past, and he said, you know, if the Cybertruck fails, we can just do a normal looking truck. That's fine. But I'm super glad that Elon was willing to take this risk, and with the amount of interest that the Cybertruck has generated, I think at this point, success for the Cybertruck doesn't hinge on customer demand. Clearly, there's plenty of that. It hinges on production, as it so often does with Tesla. Anyway, Elon was asked if he had any new information or pictures he wanted to share on the Cybertruck. He replied saying, quote, "In end, we kept production design almost exactly same as show car, just some small tweaks here and there to make it slightly better. No door handles. Car recognizes you and opens door. Having all four wheels steer is amazing for nimble handling and tight turns," end quote. So most of what's in there we have heard before. Elon a couple weeks back tweeted about adding rear wheel steering to the Cybertruck, and then back in March Elon said that there won't be any handles. This time though he did add that the car recognizes you and opens door, so Tesla actually already does that with the driver's side door of the Model X, but the X does still have what look like handles that are actually buttons. That's how all the other doors operate, and the driver door can be operated in that way as well. So I think a couple of interesting questions on the Cybertruck at this point is if the non-driver doors will also operate based on recognition, which I think would be very challenging to implement, and then if there would also be some sort of manual release for the doors in addition to that recognition opening system. And I don't mean emergency release, obviously they'll have something like that on the inside of the doors, but I still think they'll need something on the exterior because no matter how good recognition works, I just don't think it's probably going to work perfectly. And if you're out on a job site and you have gloves on or something like that, maybe you're not going to want to mess around with getting your phone, making sure that it's recognizing you. So I think a button would be great. Or what I can see Tesla doing is putting just some sort of responsive touch control on the B and C pillars of the Cybertruck, kind of like what we've seen in the Roadster prototype. At any rate, the other interesting part about this tweet is Elon saying that in the end, we kept production design almost exactly the same as shown, which suggests that the production design is fully finalized. There have been reports of it being finalized before, but it's been a little bit unclear. Back in February, for example, Elon tweeted that final design is looking great, but that also doesn't necessarily mean that the final design was done at that point in time. That could still mean that the design that they were working on at that point in time, they were confident in that design being the final design, but still working on it. Notice that February tweet is present tense, Elon saying it is looking great, versus the tweet today is past tense, Elon saying in the end we kept production design almost the same. So this feels much more conclusive to me, which could mean we'll start to hear a little bit more about the Cybertruck now after a period of time of relative quietness. The other little thing that Elon mentioned on the Cybertruck was in response to Everyday Astronaut suggesting that it would be great to have a trailer camera input, so you could have a backup camera on your trailer or RV or whatever you've got towing. Elon said, quote, "How about a Wi-Fi camera link," end quote, as a potential solution, which is kind of interesting if you remember back to those Cybertruck patents that we had talked about. Tesla had shown a stovetop attachment, and in the text describing that section, they had said that that would communicate via wired or wireless communications, which obviously could be done through Bluetooth as well, but based on Elon's reply here, it looks like they may be thinking about just doing a Wi-Fi network for the Cybertruck, which I suppose would be facilitated with LTE, which obviously Tesla vehicles have, if you're not around another Wi-Fi network. But let me know if you have other thoughts on that, aside from the potential obvious connection of Starlink. Anyway, the other detail that I'm curious about on Cybertruck, I did ask, but no dice on this, is what about those side view mirrors? Of course, we talked about that Samsung camera deal a couple days back. Unlike the author, I don't think that gives any indication of whether it will or will not have side view mirrors. Of course, the prototype does not, but as far as I know, regulations do still require them. So in terms of the design, if side view mirrors are added, that's going to be a pretty big change to the design, and it'll be interesting to see how those fit with the Cybertruck aesthetic if they are added. Either way, nice to see Elon talking a little bit more about the Cybertruck. Hopefully that's a good sign in terms of the timeline. I still don't think we're going to see any production this year, but Tesla's website still does say tri-motor all-wheel drive production is expected late 2021. Next here, let's talk about supercharging. So Elon today replying to a tweet about Car and Driver racing a bunch of different electric vehicles in a 1,000-mile race, Tesla taking the top three slots there, but they use the old Model S. Obviously the current Model S would do better, charges faster, more range, and they also use the performance Model 3 and the Model Y. Anyway, Elon decided at the end of this tweet to also throw in that, quote, supercharger network is being upgraded to 250 kilowatts to 300 kilowatts, so that will help too, end quote. We've speculated about this possibility for actually quite a while. There was an earnings call, I don't know, a few quarters ago now, where Jerome, obviously now has left Tesla, but on one of those calls, he had let slip a mention of 350 kilowatt supercharging. More recently, you may remember at the Plaid delivery event, Elon said that they're going to continue to increase the peak charge rates from superchargers. He said up to 280, 300, and then 350 kilowatts. So from Elon today, it sounds like that step up to 300 kilowatts is now happening. I was told back in June that new supercharging stations were being installed with up to that 350 kilowatt capacity. So new stations should be able to handle this. I don't know how far back that goes. I don't know if the original V3 superchargers were capable of 350 or 300 kilowatts. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But I think a big portion of them, if not all of them, should be able to handle this higher rate. As for the vehicles, who knows? That will remain an open question. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure it's something that anyone should really be too worried about or too concerned about having for their own vehicle. If we look at how this might actually impact the time spent charging, for example, let's look at the Plaid Model S. We know that is the most recent production battery update that we have from Tesla. And Motor Trend did share some pretty detailed analysis on their experience charging, so we've got good data. So they've got that curve there, which we'll come back to, but they also broke the data down into a table here. You can see that in the top row, they went from a 5% state of charge to a 30% state of charge in 6 minutes, adding 24 kilowatt hours, or about 84 miles of estimated EPA range. So most of that section happened at a charge rate of 250 kilowatts. 250 kilowatts for 6 minutes actually ends up being 25 kilowatt hours. They got 24 here. Then a little bit after that 30% state of charge, your rate of charge starts to taper down quite a bit below the 250 kilowatts. After that point, a higher peak rate isn't going to change anything at all. So we really just want to focus in on that period of time where that peak charge rate is occurring, essentially those 25 kilowatt hours there happening in 6 minutes. If we bump that peak rate up to 300 kilowatts, then those 25 kilowatt hours, those get added in 5 minutes rather than 6 minutes. And again, after that point in time, a higher peak charge rate isn't going to change anything because you're already below that point anyway. So basically, this will end up saving about 1 minute on the total charge if that taper curve doesn't change as well, which that would be a very separate decision from what we're talking about here. So 1 minute isn't nothing. I mean, if you're charging for 20 minutes, that's 5% less time. That certainly is nice, but it's not something I would spend much time worrying about if your vehicle is going to be capable of. How that taper curve ends up looking, that's actually a much more important factor than just the peak rate for how long you're going to spend charging. Where this peak rate is going to make a difference, I think, is on the Cybertruck because it will have a much larger battery. It'll be able to take that peak rate for a longer period of time, meaning it will make a more significant difference. On the S, maybe you're getting that peak rate for 22 kilowatt hours or so. On the Cybertruck, that might be more like 40 kilowatt hours. At the current 250 kilowatt rate, that would take almost 10 minutes. Bumping it up to 300 kilowatts drops it down to 8 minutes, and then bumping it up further to 350 kilowatts, which I expect will happen, that would drop it down to just below 7 minutes, so you're saving about 3 minutes or almost a third of the time in that part of the charging curve. Yeah, still just a handful of minutes, but that is still 2 to 3 times more minutes saved than on the Model S. Then of course, aside from the actual effect on charging time, the peak charge rate in kilowatts, even though that's less important than actual miles added per minute, is something that is going to be a bit of a marketing handle that companies are going to tout and compare against each other, and customers in some cases may do the same. We've definitely already seen some of that, so the higher that number is for Tesla, probably the better. All right, let's move on to the next topic here, covering this just because Elon did like a tweet about this today. It's about the electric vehicle market, specifically for imported electric vehicles for Japan. So the original article here is from Yahoo News Japan. I couldn't get the whole webpage to translate, so I've just thrown the text into Google Translate here. And the article talks about Current Motor, who operates an import car purchase service, offering a questionnaire to their clientele about electric vehicles. So the study was done from June 8th to July 7th, but there were only 254 men and women interested in import cars in their study, or I guess in their survey, probably a better way to put it. So for that reason, we're not really going to spend much time on this. That's a very small number of people. Anyway, 42% of them said that they would like to buy an electric vehicle. The rest did not want to buy an EV. But of the 108 that said that they did want to buy an imported electric vehicle, the Model 3 received the most votes with 36 total votes. Actually, I don't think that's the most interesting part of this. I think we'd all kind of expect Tesla to win that. Obviously, it's good to see it happening in Japan. But second place was actually the Mercedes-Benz EQA. That got 28 votes. I think Mercedes should be pretty happy with that. And then third place, the Taycan, Porsche Taycan, 23 votes. So yeah, not going to analyze that too closely with such a small sample size, but I did see a few articles about that, so I wanted to make sure we covered it. And then the last couple of things here, first an update on the Chevy Bolt. So the Chevy Bolt actually had a recall back in November related to electric vehicle fires, and two of the Chevy Bolts in that recall have recently caught fire. So yesterday, GM issued a notice to owners that took part in that recall, urging them to park their vehicles outdoor immediately after charging and not leave their vehicles charging overnight while GM investigates those incidents. Sounds like GM believes they have a fix for this with advanced diagnostic software, but owners are going to have to visit dealerships to have that installed. Though on the plus side, previously as a part of that recall, they had limited the max charge rate to 90%, and this diagnostic software is going to allow them to remove that 90% limit. So yeah, I mean, kind of goes without saying, imagine if this were Tesla, this would be headline news on CNBC, everywhere else. Not so much the case for GM, which is fine. I don't think things like this should be really covered all that closely anyway. GM obviously going to fix this issue, and it just makes electric vehicles in general look not as safe, but certainly would be covered much differently if it were Tesla. Similarly, the Ford Mustang Mach-E has been having some trouble on a particular mountain road in Norway, where essentially using too much regenerative braking was causing the batteries to overheat and the vehicle to have to shut down and stop. So Ford has confirmed this, they do have a fix for it. Overall, not really a big deal, but again here, a fix is going to require customers to go into a Ford dealership unless they want to wait till September or October. Apparently at that point in time, over-the-air functionality would be able to fix this issue. So it sounds like Ford does have at least a bit of a roadmap for improving their over-the-air functionality. A couple of quick housekeeping things before we do wrap it up. So yesterday we did talk about the Canada Model 3 specification weight changing. I really have to apologize on that. That was actually an old article from back in May that we were discussing, so that change did happen quite some time ago. I'm really sorry about that. Hate messing things up like that, but just wanted to make sure that was clear. And then lastly, just a quick request here. If anyone works at Twitter or knows someone that works at Twitter, I would love to get in touch. Please DM me on Twitter or send me an email at mowerworks@gmail.com. That is it for today, though. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, July 16th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.